back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
Take them off the field. I don't care what. We're in a climate right now. I don't care what it is. Take them off the dang on field. Because you know what? As a man, that's the only thing we really respect.
Chris Carter and Adrian Peterson last fall. We're talking Adrian Peterson, as we seem to do almost every single day. The story never ends. Radioactive Sports, I'm Ben Holson. The superstar Mike Morris off today. He'll be back tomorrow, joined by Pete Wagner. And we're talking Adrian Peterson in that open letter, that blog from Tim Watson, the former safety. Was drafted by the Green Bay Packers, played 5 or 6 years in the NFL with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles and New York Giants. Wrote an open letter and a blog post to Adrian Peterson saying, look, the Minnesota Vikings are not your enemy. Why are you fighting this battle? It doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe your judgment is clogged by all the money that you've made. Stop doing this. Why are you doing this? It makes no sense. You're the one that created this whole situation, not the Vikings. 651-989-9105. That's our phone number, 651-989-9105. We'll go to Victor in St. Paul. You have a comment on the Adrian Peterson letter. Hey, Victor, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Hey, how you fellas doing today?
Excellent. Pretty thank good. You.
I was just calling in because I was listening to that on the ride home, because I listen to the show pretty much every day on my ride
thank
home
you.
From work. The letter itself actually sounds pretty genuine, because it, from the perspective of the player, he's no longer in the league, it sounds like. He's just reaching out in an instance where he's, in a sense, he's like a fan, you know? And he's just reaching out where he had ties before, where it was just kind of like, hey, you know what? I see what's going on, but why are you letting XYZ cloud your decisions, you know, your decision maker? Only other thing I would honestly say is Adrian's had this team on his back for many a years, and everything's fallen into place. I would love to still see him here for the next couple XYZ years to help develop our quarterback, and that defense is just coming along at the right time. This would be the worst time to leave, if you ask me.
I totally agree. You are so right, and I think he writes it from not only being in the league, out of the league, and almost probably a guy that, you know, had a bite, scratch, and claw for his time and his paychecks, mm-hmm. Saying, you know, you're the man, and here's what you have. So looking at it from both perspectives, so I agree with what you're saying. But the bigger thing is, but you put Mike Wallace in here now, and you've got the quarterback that's coming together. It's like, really, right now? I mean, after all of this effort to get to here, it from that perspective, it's tough to take from my perspective.
Because Adrian Peterson, to me, in this situation, saying he wants out of here, feels uneasy. To me, that's a coward move by him, because he doesn't want to have to come back to Winter Park and apologize for what he did. He doesn't think that he necessarily did that. He doesn't really think he did anything wrong.
I think he
wants
a fresh start, though. I mean, and I think he, you know, from a family perspective, everybody has a certain level of privacy. And you know right. what? It's out there. And I think he wants, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know.
I get it from that perspective, but then just like you guys and everyone else has said, it's not going to change wherever else you go. If anything, and I've heard this said, and I honestly believe it, as sad as it sounds, once he breaks off one of those big signature Adrian Peterson runs and he gets to the end zone and you hear PA yelling from the 10, I mean from the 20 to 10, touchdown, at some point winning cures all, in a sense. You know, fans
isn't that true?
Eventually forgive and forget.
Absolutely. 100%. So if he continues to be the same player.
Better to do it here.
Yeah, exactly. And if he continues to be the same player, I mean, Minnesota Viking fans are going to welcome him back with open arms, even if he doesn't rip off that 70-yard run that you were just talking about. But what I thought was important, noted in this Tim Watson blog post, was that I'd have you imagine the same scenario happening with a teacher or a local news anchor. Chances are both of those two individuals would have lost their job under the public pressure from such a case as yours, yet the Minnesota Vikings are willing to pay you $12.75 million. Additionally, you'll receive $250,000 bonus just for working out. And so I firmly believe that the Minnesota Vikings will not let Adrian Peterson go. They're going to hold his feet to the fire. They're going to make him play out his contract here with the Minnesota Vikings unless they get an unbelievable trade package or an offer for Adrian Peterson. He's going to play. He's going to be in the purple this year without any guaranteed money. And Mike Zimmer said something I thought was you know, pretty punctual and pretty right on last week at the owners' meetings in Phoenix, saying there's a reason we have contracts in the NFL. There's a reason we give you all this guaranteed money up front, because some of these years towards the end of your contract where this guaranteed money doesn't fall out, it's protecting the team, it's protecting the league, because it's obviously a game that is very vicious. And so $12.75 million because he's a veteran becomes guaranteed once he plays his first game. But then every year after that, obviously there's no guaranteed money. But $12.75 million is a lot. He wants more guaranteed money. He wants face of the franchise guaranteed money. But he already got that guaranteed money when he signed his contract.
And don't you guys feel so right now, if you keep saying, I want to move on, I want to get out, you have Mike Zimmer saying, I've seen this before. He's been around forever. Then it gets into this like awkward stage. Now everybody starts in the locker room looking at you saying, now where are you with us or what's going on?
Oh, absolutely. Victor, thanks for the call, we really appreciate it. Call
thanks,
again
Victor.
Ed from Golden Valley, you have a comment on Adrian Peterson. You're on 105 The Ticket. What's up, Ed?
Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Always.
I'm just curious, everybody's always talking about him leaving, trying to start fresh, but do you really think it's that, or do you think he's got to share the limelight with other people? It's Teddy's team now. It's You got Wallace coming on. You got other higher caliber players. We've seen a lot with Adrian Peterson this last year. Something, maybe his true colors are coming through. Does he really want to share the limelight?
Well, that's an interesting point, Ed. I think that you might be onto something there. At the same point, though, I also think Adrian Peterson does not want to take a pay cut, and that's what was being talked about last season, coming up this season, that he would likely have to take a pay cut. That was before he only played one game last season. That was before he sat out the rest of the season, and the Minnesota Vikings still played him. I think he has, I think he's won on not having to restructure his contract, and that's part of what this is all about. But yet he's taking it too far and saying, we want out of Minnesota, we want this and that. But a lot of it plays into what his wife is saying. But his wife doesn't want all the women that he's been banging on the side to be around him anymore. That's what I think.
And there's not any. What about the other cities?
Well, you'd have to start over. He'd have to start over. And from what Adrian Peterson said,
anywhere else, right?
I'm sure there are plenty other places.
Come on,
but
now,
having all those kids from all the different women, he'd have to start over. And now he's a man of God, is what he said going into training camp last year.
But
he's
always
a changed guy.
He always has said that. But the thing that I can't help but think of, Ed, tell me if you see it differently. He reached out to Jerry Jones days before this was coming out, because he knew it was, and he wanted. My take is obviously that he wanted to get out of here and get to a place where it's a little more culturally acceptable. I lived in Dallas for a while, and you know what? Corporal punishment is more of an understood thing there. I believe that he was trying to run from this situation.
I think you're absolutely right. We have one more caller. Thanks, Ed from Golden Valley. Appreciate it. John from St. Michael, you're on 105 The Ticket. We got about a minute here, my man. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think they just should tell Adrian publicly, either you play for us or you might as well retire, because we got your rights for 3 years.
I think that's
enough of this garbage.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, John. I think that's kind of basically what's happening, because they do own his rights for 3 more years. He's going to be a guaranteed Viking, like I said, this year at $12.75 million, unless some team comes together with some sort of unbelievable trade package, because as the Minnesota Vikings and what Tim Watson said in his blog post that I read about 15 minutes ago, there's no reason for the Minnesota Vikings to cut him or trade him unless they get something unbelievable in return.
And
they're not going to. So that's your latest Adrian Peterson update.
Well,
hope I didn't wreck the rest of your evening, because Adrian Peterson, you know, talking about that and just the shenanigans he's pulling can oftentimes do that to Minnesota Vikings fans. Because it seems like we've got everything. We've got the coach. We've got the quarterback. We just need the franchise running back that we've had that's carried, I want to say a couple callers back said, he's carried this team on his back for so long. To see him and Teddy Bridgewater, Mike Wallace, Kyle Rudolph being healthy.
They were pretty darn good without him last year, though. Let's be honest.
They were okay. They were
pretty darn good, is what I said.
10th in the NFL in rushing with 4.4 yards per carry. But imagine having...
That's the top third without him.
But imagine having him and being the number one rushing team, and all the pressure that'll take off of Teddy Bridgewater, and then the attacking of the defense. And Mike Wallace over the top. My head just spinning.
I like that we have your contract retire.
Yeah.
You know, one or the other.
Yeah.
But you're here.
Yeah.
So you want to play, you want to play.
Yeah.
But then does he pull a Brett Favre retire and then hook up?
Well, I mean, he's going to sit out for 3 years.
He'll end up in Green Bay. They'll take him.
Yeah. 3 years from now.
Oh, what would you do if he was a Packer?
Oh, I would probably Can't say it on the
radio. Spontaneously combust.
I can't say it on the radio. That's it for the Adrian Peterson talk today. This is Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris off today. He'll be back tomorrow. We're joined by Pete Wagner. Coming up, our annual chit-chat with our Cold Omaha writing team. We're talking to Brandon Warren in his latest article, The Outlook for Mike Pelfrey as a Reliever. We'll do that next on 105 The Ticket.
Streaming worldwide at 105theticket.com.
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Seeing glimpses now, you know, this spring of, you know, who I used to be last year and, you know, previous years. So, you know, it's going to be exciting. I'm ready to get started.
That's Tommy Malone, your fifth starter in the rotation for your Minnesota Twins, who open up the regular season 1 week from today in Detroit, Rock City, USA. This is Radioactive Sports. Superstar Mike Morris off today. Pete Wagner filling in. Mike will be back tomorrow. I'm Ben Holson. We're joined now by our Cold Omaha writing team and Brandon Warren and the new article that he wrote at 105theticket.com entitled The Outlook for Mike Pelfrey as a Reliever. He was demoted on Saturday and quite hot, Pete. We had talked about this earlier today where he said he just kind of blew off some steam saying he wants to be traded, wants to be moved to a team that allow him to start. He's been injury prone. The last couple of years, he's making $5.5 million, but an interesting article, Brandon. How do you see the outlook for Mike Pelfrey as a reliever for the Minnesota Twins going into this regular season?
Well, I think there's a lot more hope for him as a reliever just because he's got, you know, a couple decent secondary pitches and he can throw pretty hard. He can kind of tone down whatever it was he was doing in terms of repertoire, you know, throwing five, six different pitches, just go down to two or three pitches, maximize his usefulness in short bursts. And we've seen it with a lot of comparable pitchers that they really take to that role and they look a whole lot better than they did as starters. So hopefully that's what the Twins try to do here.
You know, for him, I think it's, for followers of the Twins not to take that your option with Terry Ryan too seriously, because that's absolutely part of the game and how things work out. But I do need to address a couple things, Brandon, and get your thoughts here. First, I don't disagree with, and I understand what he felt, that he outpitched Tommy Malone.
He did, don't you think?
Yes.
This spring.
And so, but everybody wants a slop throwing lefty, so I get that. But I think he felt as though, you know what, if I was really in the race here for a fifth starting spot, look at what I did and look at my starts. So I can understand that frustration, and that I think that's more what it is. The other part is he's a competitive guy. We know that. And he's gone through a lot over the past two, three seasons with his injuries and the Tommy John and everything else. But he's a competitor. And when someone's telling you, you know what, you've been a lifelong starter in this game, and, you know, there's guys that love that mentality of being a starter, now we're changing your role. Even though in your article you talked about at the end of the day, yeah, I do understand that, if that's the best, I'm going to go there. I think it was awfully difficult for him to say, well, wait a minute, I felt like I was the better pitcher, part A, part B. So basically you're telling me I'm not a starter in this league anymore, tough to deal with. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think if he felt misled and led to believe that he could pitch his way out of that job, that he's absolutely justified in feeling that. But at the same time, he needs to understand that there were four candidates for that spot, and it's not, what I never understood, and I didn't really put this in the article, was why his 13 and two-thirds innings or whatever this spring should outweigh the fact that he gave them virtually nothing last year, while Tommy Malone gave him some innings, and obviously he gave him over a trade.
Yeah,
and he obviously didn't pitch very well either. But it's just, you know, the spring training innings, if it shows that you're healthy, that's one thing. But he gave the Twins virtually nothing last year, so I think the ball is kind of in their court to use him however they see fit. As far as Pelfrey goes, I think there's more in Pelfrey's arm that can play up in short bursts than Malone's. I just don't see Malone as a guy where if you shorten him, he starts throwing 93, 94 miles an hour, and so you got to kind of maximize your assets, whether it comes down to, you know, being quite being as honest with the guy as you promised you'd be. It's, sometimes you just got to tell guys what they could possibly do and not what they're going to do. And if they feel misled, that's kind of just you know, the cold nature of the business. I think it's kind of what happened here.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting point. Brandon Warren from our Cold Omaha writing team at 105theticket.com. His latest article online, the outlook for Mike Pelfrey as a reliever. He was demoted on Saturday. Tommy Malone given that fifth and final roster, or excuse me, rotation spot in the rotation where Mike Pelfrey moved to the bullpen. And he did have that blow up on Saturday requesting a trade and this and that, saying I want to be a starter. But at the same time, what some of you guys have just said already, why not be Mike Pelfrey, the guy who goes, okay, I'm making $5.5 million this year. They're moving me to the bullpen. I know I can still start. Why not just wait and see what happens with Tommy Malone, who, like you said, struggled a little bit last year, seems to have said that he thinks he's found his regular self, though he didn't put up great numbers in spring training, and just go, you know what, I'm going to outwork this guy. I outworked him in spring. I'm going to continue to outwork him as we get to the regular season, and that spot will be mine instead of whining like a biatch.
But to Tommy Malone's defense, with 60 to 70 career decisions as a starter, he is over 500, albeit barely, as a major league pitcher. So he's not just some rock heap guy that this organization's bringing in to pitch. So there's a little bit there. But what I would say instead, Brandon, and I think you kind of were touching on or alluding to it earlier, I think the mental makeup of Mike Pelfrey as a fierce competitor, as a fiery kind of guy, is great for that type of bursts. And I like where he fits in that better than anybody that they had.
Yeah, I hope his body can bounce back too. You know, you saw it with Kevin Slowey a few years ago. He just couldn't get loose multiple days in a row, whether that was that he actually couldn't get loose or if he was being obstinate. Well, I guess we'll never really know.
He probably didn't want to.
As long as Pelfrey's body can bounce back, you know, he's a big, strong guy, and so you like those guys for the rotation. So, you know, it's kind of frustrating that way. But at some point, you know, he was drafted 10 years ago. You kind of have to realize he's just who he is, and you need to wring excess talent out of him wherever you can. It's, you know, just... if he's not cut out to be a starter, that's special. And I understand his frustration, too. Back-end starters make more money than relievers in just about every case. Now, that can change. You know, if Pelfrey goes out and has a really nice year this year, he's a free agent at the end of the season, he still could get paid as a reliever, and there's no doubt about that. So I think part of it is just kind of understanding, look, I could pout my way out of the league, and then there's no money left. So, you know, you have your time to kind of come to grips with what's happening around you. You can be upset. But once you kind of grab the bull by the horns and turn things around, there's still plenty of baseball left in Mike Pelfrey's right arm as a guy who just turned 31 this year.
Absolutely. Brandon Warren from Cold Omaha on 105theticket.com and his latest article, The Outlook for Mike Pelfrey as a Reliever. To Mike Pelfrey's defense, he did have that blow up on Saturday, ended up talking to Terry Ryan, and now he said he's back on, you know, he's back in his head straight, and he's hoping for the team to win and all this good stuff, and he's a team guy. And I mean, I don't blame him for anything. I don't want to rip him for anything he said, because like Pete Wagner was saying, you know, he's a warrior back there. He wants the ball, and he wants to throw it, and he wants to win. But my question for you, Brandon Warren, and Pete Wagner, you're both great baseball minds. Why not have somebody of his size and somebody that can throw the fastball and throws pretty hard? Why not put him at the back end setting up Glenn Perkins, somebody who can come in the eighth inning and just be a dominating force for that one inning every once in a while? Like you said, Brandon Warren, those players get paid a lot of money.
There's no question he can earn that role in quick order like Glenn Perkins did when he came up. Because I remember watching the Twins in 2011, and that's when Perkins just barely made the team. And they had him throwing seventh, eighth inning by late April, I believe. And I'm just thinking to myself, really, you're going to have Glenn Perkins throw the seventh or eighth inning? The guy that barely made the team? And he made me shut up pretty fast with that 95-mile-an-hour fastball and that nasty slider. And I think it could be the same exact thing with Pelfrey. You don't have a lot of guys at the back end of this bullpen that can strike people out and get big outs for you in close late games. So there's no question in my mind, if he pitches like I think he can, he's going to be a guy with Casey Fien that's going to take him those late inning roles and keep other guys fresh, because obviously, you know, you can't have guys throwing those same innings every single night. And hopefully the Twins will be in games too, so you have leads to protect early on in the season.
Yeah. Brandon Warren, that's exactly why those guys are in the position to make the decisions they do, and then you, myself, and Ben Holson are here to second-guess every single route.
That's my favorite part of this job. Thanks for joining us, Brandon Warren, part of our Cold Omaha writing team at 105theticket.com. The outlook for a Mike Pelfrey as a reliever. Tommy Malone named the fifth starter in the rotation as we head to opening day, just 1 week from today in Detroit, Rock City, USA. Thank you, Brandon. We'll talk to you later, my man.
Good talk, gentlemen.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care. We're talking WrestleMania 31 next, Pete Wagner. Is that a sport?
Yes.
It is. Watch it's it. Fake. It's rigged. Why are we talking WrestleMania?
Why not?
No, it was a pretty big deal. Two Vikings.
Anything that gets 77,000 people, we got to talk about.
77,000 people at Santa Clara Stadium, or at Levi Stadium in Santa Clara, where the 49ers play. It was unbelievable. I didn't watch it last night, but just from the tweets and Facebook and Brock Lesnar and what's his name? Rock Reigns or something like that?
Reigns. Yes.
Yeah, he was not Rock Reigns because he used to play baseball. But two former Minnesota Vikings.
You're thinking Tim Raines.
Tim Raines, but they called him Rock.
Mm-hmm.
His nickname was Rock, Tim Rock Reigns.
Yes.
Two Minnesota Vikings in the former Minnesota Vikings in the championship, in the ring for the championship belt. They both end up losing in true Minnesota Viking fashion. We'll talk to your guy, the architect.
Ed Hellyer. He is the main guy for Steal the Main Wrestling here in the Twin Cities, the second longest running professional wrestling firm next to the American Wrestling Association. And anybody who knows pro wrestling knows Steal Domain Wrestling. The tech, as I like to call him, will be here in the house.
We're talking wrestling next on Radioactive Sports.
On Deck Radio with Pete Wagner and former Twins Gene Larkin and Al Newman.
We have a new pitching coach, Neil Allen. How hard is it for a manager to hand that over?
As a manager in the minor leagues, one of the first conversations I've always had with my pitching coach is, hey, these are your guys.
It's a matter of trust, right, Al?
Yes,
you've got to trust your pitching coach, and you've got to give him your philosophy. But it comes down to getting people out.
Tune in On Deck Radio, Saturday mornings at 11. Wall-to-wall baseball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Feel that? Radioactive Sports, 105 The Ticket.
I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for all you've done to your bodies. It's still real to me, damn it!
Some guy back in 2006 talking about wrestling in the World Wrestling Federation, or WWE, whatever you're calling it these days. I used to watch it religiously on Sundays, coming home from church back as a kid.
Yep.
After Sunday school or whatever, I'd, boom, park myself in front of the TV. Hulk Hogan.
What a dichotomy.
I remember sending him a letter after I think he blew out his knee or something like that. The Ultimate Warrior, Tatanka, Mr. Perfect, Jake the Snake Roberts. Love that guy with the DDT. Huge wrestling fan,
you know,
back in the day.
I bested Hulk Hogan in something.
What do you mean
face
you bested?
Face to face.
What do you mean you bested him in something?
We had an eat-off.
Really?
Yep. He used to come into the Perkins I worked at in Edina.
Really?
And he used to order 8-egg omelets back when he was in the American
eight
wrestling.
8-egg omelets?
Yeah. Yeah. Although he was kind of, he would whites only. So it was sort of cheesy.
Sure.
And he used to drive the cooks absolutely insane.
Of course.
So I was this punky 19-year-old. It was great. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take down a 9-egg omelet. Yellows and whites, mm-hmm. Went after it. See, I said, I showed it to him. He goes, no, dude, you're going to sit here and eat it. True story.
What was in the omelet?
It was the El Grande. It was massive.
With all the meats and bacons and cheeses.
It was like a Mexican omelet with, it had even a, it was,
yeah,
oh
I'm
my
in love.
Word. It
that
was.
Sounds amazing. We're joined now with, this is Radioactive Sports, by the way. As you can tell, the superstar Mike Morris not in today. He's on, taking a day off. Pete Wagner sitting in. The superstar will be back tomorrow. Our next guest, though, to talk about WrestleMania and the wrestling scene, the architect Ed Hellyer. Hellyer, the Steel Domain Wrestling, Richfield American Legion, 7 p.m., your next bout coming up Saturday, May 2nd. Welcome to the show, the architect. How are you, sir?
I'm here.
Ed.
Hey, Wags.
Hey, I never told you that.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet, sir. I never told you about that Hogan story. I thought you'd appreciate that one.
Well, you know, I've had lunch with you before, and I still think you could probably handle a 9-egg omelet.
Have you looked at me? Absolutely. Good. I've got eating down to an art. God. I mean, I make Adam on Man vs. Food look like a hack.
He seems like a hack, though, as well. I mean, I didn't watch WrestleMania 31 last night. It was on pay-per-view, I would imagine. But I did see all over social media. Everybody on Twitter was talking about it. All, I mean, people that followed the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey, college sports, everybody that I follow and talk to, everybody was tweeting about WrestleMania 31. What was so good about WrestleMania 31? Obviously, we had two Vikings in the championship round, right? Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. And neither of them won in true Minnesota Vikings fashion. But what else happened last night?
Well, first of all, this is the 31st time they've done it. And this is the biggest wrestling event of the year. And they go into these major markets. And Pete mentioned earlier, or somebody mentioned earlier, the venue, the Levi Strauss Stadium out in the Bay Area, 76,000 people. I mean, they really, really do it big time. This would be the equivalent to the Super Bowl. And I've been told that the revenue that some of these cities generate is close to what they do in the Super Bowl week. And it's their big event. You know, they've done it a bunch of times. You can get it now. You don't have to buy it on pay-per-view if you're a subscriber to the WWE streaming network. For $10 a month, you get all the pay-per-views on it. So it's a pretty good deal. But if you're a WWE fan or a quote-unquote sports entertainment fan, you have to be pretty happy with what happened yesterday. That was, and Pete knows I'm a, you know, probably one of the toughest critics, but that was really a great event in my eyes.
What stood out in this one for you from that perspective, Ed? Because, you know, we always break it down, but what made this one stand out in your eyes?
Well, I think there were a couple of things. You know, they started out red hot with a ladder match, and Pete, you and I have talked about this. Usually, you know, you're going to see something like that in the main event, but they started out in the opening match with a ladder match and crowned a new Intercontinental Champion in Daniel Bryan, who's, you know, was on the shelf for a while with an injury, and he's come back, and the fans are constantly behind this guy, you know, and they felt that he deserved, you know, some gold, and then he finally got that, and it, you know, I think that pleased the fans. If you ever seen a ladder match before, it's, I mean, best way to describe it is just a train wreck. There's bodies flying all over, metal, and I can't really believe how much risk these guys put themselves at, you know, taking those, you know, big bumps off the top of those ladders. You know, I saw a couple of them, I just cringed, but. You know, there's still fans out there. They just love that style of match. I think the other thing that I thought was tremendous is, you know, seeing Sting, you know, former, the last man standing, as they referred to him in WCW. And I know, Pete, you're an old WCW stalwart. You know, see him in a WWE ring taking on Triple H, which I thought was a, you know, tremendous match, especially when you've got a guy in there, Sting, who's 56 years old. You would have never known it. And I just thought that was a tremendous match. It was really well laid out. And then, of course, along with that, you had a run-in by the old NWO, Hall, Nash, and X-Pac. And then you had some of the guys from
it was amazing
DX
they could
appear.
Ed, honestly, it was amazing you could get all those guys together. Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
The NWO, really? I mean, for a lot of reasons, but.
Oh, the star power was incredible.
Couldn't believe they were there. Couple quick questions for you here.
Yep.
Daniel Bryan, why and what is the fixation with that guy as a star? I don't.
Who is he? For a non-wrestling fan.
He's got the beard. I mean, how do you extreme? I mean,
I'm a non-wrestling fan.
But he's like, people like live for this guy.
Well, here's Daniel Bryan is, he was one of Shawn Michaels' students. He got trained in Shawn Michaels' school down in Texas. He's from up in the Northwest. And Daniel Bryan, like CM Punk and others, toiled, you know, in the independents for years. And so they had created a, you know, with the hardcore fans, when I say hardcore, the fans that follow all the, you know, promotions like, you know, Steel Domain and Ring of Honor and some of these other promotions, these guys were big-time favorites, you know, before they got to the WWE, and they aren't out of the, you know, quote-unquote cookie-cutter WWE factory down in
Florida.
So they've got a following to begin with, and you know, if you look at their popularity, as fast as it's, you know, grown, that's probably the best explanation. Now, the guy that won the title last night cashed in his Money in the Bank deal, Seth Rollins. He was known as Tyler Black in Ring of Honor. He's the next one that didn't go through the, you know, cookie cutter factory down there in Orlando, Florida, and he came in through the independents, just like CM Punk, just like Brian, you know, Daniels, excuse me, or Daniel Bryan, I should say. And, you know, he's been on the main roster for a little over 2 years, and he's got gold already.
People love the guy.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. WrestleMania 31, we're talking to the architect, Ed Hellyer from Steel Domain Wrestling, local joint. Their next match, Richfield American Legion, 7 p.m. Saturday, May 2nd. Ed, can you hold on just a second? We got to take a break. I want to talk to you about Minnesotan Brock Lesnar last night in the championship bout. I want to talk about the UFC lady. What's her name? Rousey? Rosie?
Ronda Rousey. I want to talk about that, too.
Yeah, she took down Triple H with help from The Rock. And then I want to ask you, too, about, just from my perspective, because it seems like I grew up loving the World Wrestling Federation. WCW is WWF back in the day. I'd watch, you know, Wednesdays on this channel, Mondays on this channel, and I was a huge fan. But then I kind of grew out of it because, to me, it's fake. I mean, there was a wrestler who even admitted that it's fake. We'll talk to you about that at Hell Year from Steel Domain Wrestling coming up. This is Radioactive Sports on 105 The Ticket. I'm Ben Holson, Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Do you have a little bit of an outburst there, Pete Wagner? What happened?
I did. Sorry. That was unprofessional.
No, it's quite all right.
I can't.
At least you're not farting into the microphone like the superstar normally does.
Give me 5 minutes.
No. I'm sorry I even broke that up.
No, it's just, when is Peck ever, like, not hurt?
Never. And good thing we paid him $60 million over 5 years.
Henceforth, J.O. from We Can't Say the Name, of course.
No, I want K-A-T, Cat. That's what I'm calling him.
Okay.
Superstar Mike Morris off today. This is Radioactive Sports. I'm Ben Holson, joined today by Pete Wagner. And once again, we're talking WrestleMania 31 with the architect Ed Hellyer from Steel Domain Wrestling, a local joint here around the Twin Cities. And let's get back to WrestleMania 31 last night. 76,000 fans at Levi Strauss Stadium in Santa Clara, California, where the San Francisco 49ers play. It was fun to watch. I mean, I didn't see it, but I saw highlights today. Fun to see that happening outdoors. Those outdoor matches was awesome. What's up?
Well, they're calling it, not only that, really a dress rehearsal for Super Bowl 50, which will be there next year in February.
Yeah, unbelievable that it just packed the house. Ronda Rousey, I believe is what her name is. She just had her way last night with Triple H. And obviously, it's fun to watch a girl beat up on a guy. But back to what I was saying to you, Ed, earlier today, or earlier in our last segment. Wrestling, I kind of grew out of it. I used to love it back in the day, you know, when I'd watch it on Sunday mornings. And then I kind of grew out of it because, to me, it's fake. So what do you guys get out of wrestling? What do you love about wrestling so much? Is it just the entertainment value? Is it like watching your favorite TV show? Sell me on why I should be a big wrestling fan again.
Ed, I'm going to jump on this one real quick, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
What it is everybody likes TV shows, right? I mean, sure. Of course, when Amelia Reno and myself were getting into all the great shows, and you're like, what are you talking about? So that kind of excludes you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say there's a program you like. Let's say even, you know, you're on the female side of things. I don't know many guys that would watch The Bachelor. But let's say
when I was dating females, I had to watch.
You didn't have a choice. Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. So you're sitting there, but you know, you see people kind of throw themselves into the program and wonder why this person does that and why that person does that. It's not your real life. It's not. These programs aren't. This is really no different.
Okay.
Except it has sport based around it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many things that are happening. If you watch Breaking Bad, the reason you watch it, enjoyed it when it was on, was because half the time you were trying to figure out what was going to happen next. And Vince Gilligan, the writer of that program, was 10 steps ahead of you. In professional wrestling, now you put together a athletic part of it, which allows you to cheer the good guys and boo the bad guys, depending upon what you want to do, be appalled by some things, and sometimes it's just the thought of it that can get you going. Now, I'll tell you this. If you enjoyed wrestling when you were a kid on Sunday mornings, this was not solicited. You would love Steel Domain Wrestling. It is exactly what we're doing. I'm the executive producer on the video side of things. Every week we put out a new program, studio wrestling, that leads up to big events that we have. And then we have, you know, what we would say resolution matches. We've got some of the best independent talent you're going to find. Ed doesn't like to refer to them as independent wrestlers because it's professional wrestling. But I will tell you right now, I was shocked. When I went to run a camera the first time, I was down on ringside. This was April 23rd, 2012. My return back to the game, if you will. And I was like, well, we'll see how good these guys are, you know. They were better than what I remembered in the 80s. I'll tell you that right now. I'm going to invite you right now. I want you and Mike Morris out.
Mike would love it.
You two together.
Awesome.
We'll have beers. You're coming to the Richfield American Legion. I've got a guy that's directing for me. I'll chill with you guys. It will be a blast. Ed, do you need to add to that?
No, but I'd like to just address, you know, maybe what happened with you, Ben, and how you maybe went away from, let's say, the WWE product.
Well, and WCW. I used to love WCW as well. I mean, I was watching it as many nights as I possibly could.
Okay, so if you were to go back, you know, X number of years, I think here's probably what happened, because it was very similar for me. The writing and the storyline, so to speak, were at one time all handled by previous wrestlers. You know, Dusty Rhodes and you know, guys like Pat Patterson and
Kevin Sullivan.
Jay Strongbow. They did all the creative stuff. And then they went away from them and hired Hollywood writers, I kid you not, that probably knew very little about wrestling, but they were professional writers. And what happened is you'd have a two-hour program. You know, it's 3 hours now, but if we were to go back to the two-hour format where you had Raw and then, you know, the Monday Night Nitro, what you were getting was talk,
yeah,
and no good athletic matches.
Absolutely.
You know, and it got boring. It got boring for me. I remember, you know, I grew up doing this, or not, I didn't grow up doing this. My kids grew up. I have two sons. We used to watch the stuff on Monday night. We always knew something was going to happen. What was Stone Cold going to do tonight? What was The Rock going to do tonight? You know, if we were watching Nitro, we were there to watch Flair. And then it just kind of, it got just nuts, where it was just, you know, you'd have a two-hour program and maybe, what, 45 minutes of wrestling? And
yeah,
it got boring.
Well, and you were lucky if you get, that was where the big, everybody was putting their stopwatches down on that and saying, okay, we had 45 minutes of wrestling in 3 hours. This is absolutely hideous. And this is, yep, this can't be.
So, I love Jake the Snake Roberts. I'd go to, I went to WWF matches at the arena, Target Center, and you'd see the snake in the corner there.
Do you know,
in the
I
bay.
Saw him the night before he had his episode on the airplane.
Really?
Yes. Absolutely. The night before.
Well,
I was up in northern Wisconsin when we were doing a production for another independent organization. And he seemed really off and weird. Hmm. I mean, it was like, what's going on here? And he was, you know, there was no booze. I mean, it was just really weird. And he did a little bit in the ring. He did a DDT, with Mitch Paradise.
He used to do the DDTs to my brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Just Barry.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he's being rushed to the hospital on his way to Vegas. It was absolutely incredible.
Wow.
So, Ed, thanks a lot for joining us here today, talking some WrestleMania. For everybody that wants to check out what you got going on, Steel Domain Wrestling TV on YouTube. It's a very simple search, Steel Domain Wrestling TV. We've got some great matches there. But if you want to go deeper into the vault, you go to SteelDomainWrestling.com. You can get your tickets online for the big event. We sell out. Get on. Check it out. It is awesome. And Ed, you do a great job.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks for coming on the program. Richfield, American Legion, 7 p.m. Saturday, May 2nd, and you can get the tickets at SteelDomainWrestling.com.
Yep, and hopefully you and the star will be there.
I cannot wait.
You'll love it.
Can I get in the ring and take him down?
Maybe.
Yes.
Do you want to take a bump?
A bump?
Yeah, that's what we call it, a bump.
What's a bump?
That's where you get where you get popped and you got to fall.
Oh.
Will you do it?
Yeah, I would love to take a bump.
You're taking a bump.
From back in my day, taking a bump is something completely different.
No, and you know what? You're taking a bump.
I'm going to take a bump.
You better get there at 4 so we can work with you.
Okay, sounds good. We're talking wrestling. Love it. Coming up next, we're going to get a wild update from Pete Wagner, who has the biggest wild hockey brain I know. Maybe a little bit less than Jim Rich. I don't know if you're tied. Jim Rich is our go-to hockey guy.
Shot.
I don't know. Would you say that you know more?
My breath, it was such a low.
Wild update with the wagon train. He's going to drop his gooey hockey knowledge on on all of us coming up next. The superstar Mike Morris off today. He'll be back tomorrow. This is Radioactive Sports.
Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
Yeah, we got a long ways to go, but yes, I would say, you know, you look at what we've done lately, and there's no reason why our group should not feel good and be confident. And I think that that's growing, and that's something that we got to continue to grow, and it's ongoing. You know, you can lose it as quickly as you can gain it, but we have it right now, and our guys, they're doing the job.
Here's Wild head coach Mike Yeo on the Wild's very, very, very hot trend here, winning two games over the weekend. St. Paul at the Xcel Energy Center, first beating Calgary on Friday night, then the defending champion Los Angeles Kings on Saturday. This is Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris back tomorrow, joined by Pete Wagner. And Pete is our resident hockey guy, and so I'm hoping you're going to drop some gooey hockey knowledge on your people. The Wild don't play until Thursday. They're hosting the New York Rangers. They've got some tough games, have some tough games down the stretch, six games to go. They not only play the Rangers, they play the Detroit Red Wings. Who else do they play at home before they head out on the road?
They got the Rangers, the Wings, and now you're challenging me here.
Is it the Jets,
Winnipeg,
I think?
Jets,
yeah.
Yes.
And then they play Chicago, Nashville, and St. Louis all on the road to
bang.
To wrap up the season. I mean, this is tough. But going into this, I want to say it was a nine-game stretch before Friday's game. Most people were saying they have to win five games to get in the playoffs. They've already won two or three.
They won the two that mattered the most. Yeah. You know, those were the two teams that were in around or behind them, which could really, you know, create some problems for them in the standings. And, you know, the Calgary Flames have proved a big win last night in Nashville to be a team that's not going away from anybody anytime, anywhere soon. The Los Angeles Kings, a couple of weeks ago, we were asked, Chad Graff kind of threw it up to our crew here, who do we think is going to be the team, the odd team out, because it really looked like it was three teams out of four that were going to make those final spots. And I said it was the Kings. And for some reason, I still feel like they're the team that are going to be the odd team out. I think Calgary is going to find a way to do it. It's incredible that they've done it without Mark Giordano in the lineup. The great defenseman. So I think really what it comes down to for the Wild is they've all but clinched their spot now. Now it's a matter of continuing to play great hockey and keep their sights on third and even possibly second place in the Central. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it's highly possible.
It is highly possible. Highly possible. And as of Saturday, Wild fans are going crazy because they were 1 point ahead of the Chicago Blackhawks. The Blackhawks ended up winning the game. Did they play Saturday night or was it Sunday?
Yesterday,
that's right.
And they play again tonight.
Oh, okay. So they could be 3 points ahead of us as we come into tomorrow and then Thursday's game.
Games in hand are a funny thing. When you win them, you start to create your separation. Yeah. When you lose them, it becomes a problem. For the Blackhawks, this is the second night of back-to-backs. They haven't been terrific at United Center. And they get the Los Angeles Kings team that flew from here on Saturday, chilled in Chicago, the Windy City on Sunday, and guess what? They're waiting for the Hawks to come back from Winnipeg. Mm. So it's kind of the same scenario as they had with the Minnesota Wild as they were playing the back end of back-to-backs. I don't think Los Angeles is going to lose tonight. I don't. And I think that bodes well for the Minnesota Wild because that game in hand, now it's a one-point differential. That's what you want. Because when you do play the Hawks, if each of you take care of business, you still have destiny in your hands to at least leapfrog them into third place.
Yeah, it's a fun time to be a Minnesota Wild fan. It was disappointing. They weren't living up to expectations the first half of the season. They've been the hottest team since the All-Star break, and we always talk about teams peaking at the right time going into the playoffs, whether it be football, baseball, basketball, whatever it is. It seems like even though the Minnesota Wild have been so hot since the All-Star break, they're peaking even more now, and they're going to be a fun team to watch. And I know you're not necessarily a homer, but what's realistic for the Minnesota Wild going into the playoffs?
Geez, anything can happen. I mean, I'm such a, I don't say I'm negative, but when it comes to the postseason, it's just so up in the air. I mean, you think you could have the best team in the world. I mean, but who would have ever thought the Minnesota Wild would be in the Western Conference Final in 2003? Nobody. No. But things worked and things came together and boom, there they were. You know, teams like the Carolina Hurricanes, very good club in 2006. But were they really a Stanley Cup contender? Did everybody really believe that? I don't know. They were pretty good, but it's really hard to tell. I still think for this team, it's incremental in growth. A win in the first round is a must as far as taking steps forward. Now I think a win in the second round is a must, and that means you get yourself to the conference final, and then you start, Ben, getting yourself into the position where now anything's possible. But you got to win these first two series to give yourself an opportunity to start talking about Lord Stanley. Right now, the way this team's playing, it's viewed by many, Pierre LeBrun, one of them, and ESPN.com, saying, hey, this team is one of the top teams in the NHL, if not the top team, and they've been maintaining this for a long time. There's no reason to believe why not them? Why can't they be a team to beat in the playoffs? So it's not unrealistic to see this team playing for a conference title and maybe even a Stanley Cup, but on the same token, they could be tripped up in the first or second round as well as anybody.
It happens to the best of us. Yes. Obviously, good defense, great goaltending, the 10-game winning streak on the road, franchise best.
Number one penalty kill?
I love the penalty kill because special teams has done, you know, pretty well on the defensive side for the Minnesota Wild. And now that they're winning some games on the road, I mean, what more could you ask for in a team going into the Stanley Cup playoffs? Thank you for dropping that knowledge, Pete Wagner.
It was
Pete
pleasure.
Wagner. He knows the Minnesota Wild. He's sitting in for the superstar Mike Morris today. Coming up next, we're going to wrap things up. The sillier side of sports and Mike's true superstar next on 105 The Ticket.
Radioactive Sports, 105 The Ticket.
Pete Wagner, this is what we call the sillier side of sports. We take her home, wrap her up skis, and we just get goofy as if we weren't already goofy.
One of my favorite segments.
As if we weren't already the goofy ones. Alonzo Mourning said recently that Michael Jordan would average almost 50 points a game in today's NBA, calling it soft. You wouldn't be able to touch him on the perimeter, so he'd be shooting a ton of free throws. It's not the same game, he said. I would have loved to have seen LeBron James play in the 1990s. Mourning also mentioned that he would have been like Shaq if he were playing right now. He's spent his entire adult life being a defensive stalwart, so he knows a thing or two about protecting the rim. Mourning had his share of battles with Michael Jordan, obviously, the two-time defensive player of the year. Almost 50 points per game. Think so? Think the NBA game's gotten soft?
I don't think 50 points per game soft. I mean, come on. But I do hear what he's saying, though. I mean, I think he's saying that your real estate was a lot more battled for back in the day. And that in today's game, that Michael Jordan would have had a little more room to work.
Well, there were guys like Patrick Ewing and Hakeem Olajuwon and Charles Barkley and Dennis Rodman, guys that aren't afraid to crush you if you come in the lane. That doesn't really happen anymore.
It's not like it was.
No.
I mean, when you think back to that era, that was from, I'd say, 70s and 80s, early 90s, about as physical as it gets. Great to watch.
Yeah.
They've softened it up, no question.
Yeah, for sure. Michigan State headed to yet another Final Four under Tom Izzo, his seventh since 1999.
Wow.
This is one of the more unexpected runs in team history, so now fans are scattering for tickets. The cheapest on StubHub right now, $853 for a pair of nosebleed seats in the rafters for the Michigan State game this weekend. One diehard fan wants her tickets, and she'll do just about anything to do it, according to Craigslist, with quite the sexy photo of herself in a bikini,
really?
By the way. So it makes me want to go buy these tickets real quick. This woman wrote, quote, "I'm an attractive Michigan State graduate in my 20s and would be more than willing to offer a kiss and a boob flash to anyone willing to part ways with a Final Four ticket to the Michigan State versus Duke game in Indianapolis on Sunday, April 4th. I will be coming to town next Friday and would be able to pick up the tickets that evening if available. If interested, please text the number listed with serious offers only."
Do you get the money, too?
Thank you, and go sporty. She didn't say in that little deal. I wouldn't want more than boobs, probably. You can see boobs anywhere, right?
You're that, well.
Can't you see boobs anywhere you want it? I mean.
Absolutely.
Boobs are a dime a dozen.
Yeah, it is kind of. You need a better offer than that.
A little kiss?
Don't you need a little better offer than that?
And a boob flash and a kiss? It just doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry, lady. Even though she seemed quite attractive. A blonde.
Well, what do you look? You look. Okay.
What?
You're ready to up the ante if you had tickets.
Yeah. No, yeah. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's wind up on YouTube. We'll be that couple that's doing the oinky boinky, if you know what I'm saying, at the game.
Spring break.
I've always wanted to be on CNN. In some way, somehow, I got to get on CNN. I'm not really sure.
That might be your ticket. Pardon the pun.
Yeah. According to the New York Post, Knicks insider Charlie Rosen said the team needs a center with a big butt to hold down space. He said after watching Kentucky big man, the guy we talk about all the time in the NCAA tournament, Rosen says, Cat is not a big enough body. He, even though he's 7 feet tall, he'd never get that position in the NBA. He doesn't have enough power or core strength. He wouldn't be able to set up one dribble away from the basket. He's not that kind of a center that you need in the triangle. He's not physically that type of center, but he's athletic and he does other things. The Knicks needs to worry less about butts and maybe more about getting some quality players. They're god-awful. They can't even afford to mess up with this high draft pick that they have going in this offseason. Right now, they have the worst record in the NBA, slightly worse than the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are not good themselves.
Something.
They're not good. Timberwolves or the Knicks.
Do you think they have to worry about that, or should they just get the best possible player?
Who?
The Knicks. I mean, they've got holes everywhere.
I think for them, the who shall not be named from Duke would be a better fit for the Knicks because they have that's the kind of offense that they play. And with Carmelo Anthony, who to me seems like a get-to-your-spot-and-score-points type of guy, they're not really an offense that the Minnesota Timberwolves seem to be building on, which is much more athletic, running, shooting, picks, moving around a lot, which is why I want Cat from Kentucky.
Okay, you're in the bag for that. You weren't at the start of the show.
In the big
one. Well, for Cat.
I love Cat.
But you were still throwing it out there as though you weren't sure, but you've just basically.
I'm for Cat. That's the guy I want.
Yeah.
I've been asking for the last week, and everybody's saying, no, we want J.A.
J.O.
J.O., sorry. That's what his name is. J.O. from Duke. And I want the other guy.
You don't like the Duke lineage. It just drives you crazy.
Name great Duke players besides Grant Hill, and he had
Christian
injury problems.
Leitner.
No. I'm talking about in the NBA.
I'm joking. Grant Hill?
Shane Battier's had a long NBA career, yeah. But he's not a dominant playing, player.
Yeah, it's kind of true. Oh, no. Now you're going to the institutional thing.
Well, you talk about Kentucky, though. Look, I mean, Kentucky right now has probably some of the best players in the NBA, and John Wall and Anthony Davis, who the Timberwolves played yesterday.
Who do you see as number three?
Probably Russell from Ohio State. D'Angelo.
Where does he fit with those two?
He's a guard.
But as far as Flip is...
He's a freshman, just like the other
two. Flip has clearly said, I'm taking the best available player. I'm not taking position.
Yeah, I think
so. Kat. Who's the best athlete there?
I think with the highest upside, I think it would be Kat.
Boy, they don't need another guard here. But anyway...
No, that's what I'm saying.
But I'm just saying, but he said he's taking the best athlete.
Yeah. And I think Kat's the best athlete, unbelievably. Going back to just showing you whatever the lines from their games over the weekend. I don't remember where it was. One had 25 points in 25 minutes, 80% field goal shooter, 77% from the...
But you're talking one game, and you're talking matchups, and you're talking different things.
But
so
that's a very teeny sample size. Kat from Kentucky, overall in the season, is a better free throw shooter, a much better. I mean,
arguably
it's not even
on a better team.
But when you're shooting free throws, nobody's blocking you.
I know. I'm just saying his team is arguably better than
Duke.
And
I would say he scores less points than the guy from Duke does.
I think you need to open up the phone lines on this tomorrow, and I want to hear this. I want to hear what people think about
that. I think everybody right now is on the Duke guy's bandwagon because he's the one that we've been touting all year long. And I just don't think that people that I've talked to have seen enough of Kat from Kentucky to make a value to... decision.
What does the Z-Man think? Have you talked to him?
Zagoda? He doesn't watch a lot of college basketball.
Okay, how about Marcus Fuller?
Marcus Fuller, haven't asked him.
Go there. I'd be curious to know. What else you got?
Everybody's going to say that guy. Everybody is. We're done for the day.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We ran out of time. We got an aside discussion. Pete Wagner, thank you for filling in for the superstar.
Awesome.
Mike Morris.
Thanks
this is another
asking.
Great day. Appreciate it. Love having you here. Coming up next, Wally Langfellow. Wally Langfellow tonight, high school basketball breakdown, along with Larry McKenzie. And Minnesota Timberwolves play tonight, 7 o'clock, Fox Sports North. You can watch that. While they're playing till Thursday. Nothing else really going
on. Wild fans have Hawks and Kings at 7:30 on NBC Sports Network as well.
Boy.
Huge implications for the Wild. Check it out.
The superstar wraps up the show every day with the true superstar. He's not here today, but we're still going to play his music in honor because it's very important. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow, everybody. Have a great night.